everybody. So the Bible is very clear when it comes to God wanting to be our healer. I mean, in Exodus, God describes himself, one of his redemptive names is Jehovah Rapha, which means the God who heals. And then in the New Testament, Jesus came and demonstrated the heart of God through healing everybody that came to him wanting healing. And many people who didn't even come and ask him for healing, he healed. And he's known as the great physician. So he's concerned about the physical part of our bodies. You know, he's not only concerned with your spirit being saved and your soul being saved, but he's also concerned with your body. So God wants to heal us in every part of us. And I believe that God heals in three ways or four ways. He heals naturally. So if you cut your finger, your body gets healed naturally. He heals through medically. So, you know, how many of you have ever had an operation? God heals us medically, and he heals us psychologically. So a lot of times healing is psychological before it becomes a physical manifestation of your body. And then he heals us miraculously. So he wants us to experience healing any way we can get healing, because he is a healer. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that later. But he also wants us to experience healing miraculously. And Dee and I have been fortunate to witness many, many miracles. I'm going to read Mark chapter 1 from verses 39 to 45. It says, "And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I am willing, be cleansed.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them.' But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere." So in this portion of scripture, we can see that this man didn't question Jesus' power to heal. He had this confident expectation that Jesus had the power, but he was asking him a question: "Are you willing to heal me?" And there's many people who ask the same question. They don't necessarily question that God is able, but they question his willingness to heal. And it's very interesting when Jesus said, "I am willing," it's this, in the Greek there, he's talking about a willingness and an expression of a deep inward desire for release. And the actual analogy that is used there is when you really need to go to the bathroom. And you have to hang in there, and you finally get to the bathroom, there is a sense of relief. And that's actually the word there in the Greek. That when God heals, it's actually a relief for him to release healing. And so I want to leave you with a couple of points this evening. Why does God heal? Well, firstly, because he loves us. So the motivation for God wanting to see us walk in wholeness and health is because of his love for us. In Matthew 14:14, it says, "When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick." In Matthew 9, it says, Jesus was going through all the cities, verses 35 and 36, going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. In Matthew 15:32, it says, "And Jesus called his disciples to him and said, 'I feel compassion for the people because they remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I don't want to send them away hungry, for they might faint on the way.'" In Matthew 20, verses 30 to 34, it says, "And two blind men sitting by the road, hearing that Jesus was passing by, cried out, 'Lord, have mercy on us, son of David.' The crowd sternly told him to be quiet, but they cried out all the more, 'Lord, son of David, have mercy on us.' Jesus stopped and called them and said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, we want our eyes to be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. So there's a couple of points I want us to just get settled in our heart with regards to God's desire to heal us. And the first is, God doesn't heal you to make you a spectacle. With this man who was a leper, he said to him, "Don't go and tell anybody." But he went and he told everybody. So, you know, oftentimes, you know, we think that God wants to heal us so that he can show us off. And I don't believe God is a sensationalist. God loves people, and God wants to restore our dignity and our worth. So Jesus heals because he loves you, not because he wants to make a spectacle out of you. Secondly, I don't believe that God is saying that we get healed just through our confession. Because many times people say, if you want to get healed, you've just got to confess your healing. And so I would say God is not a confessionalist. And I like what this lady said, you know, when God spoke to her, he said, "I don't want you to go and study what's wrong with you. I want to go and discover how I've healed you." And so faith is not denying the facts. Faith is stating the truth. So my faith is a confession of the truth. So it's not that I'm denying that I'm sick. No, I'm actually making a confession of the truth that by his stripes I was healed. In Malachi it says, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. In Acts 10:38 it says that how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So it is God's nature for us to be healed. It's in his nature for us to want to walk healing out. And I'm going to leave you with a couple of things practically that you can apply. And then also, God is not a dispensationalist. And what I mean by that, many people say that healing passed away when Jesus rose from the dead. No, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same Jesus that walked around throughout Israel healing people is the same Jesus who wants us to experience that healing. You know, in Mark 16, it talks about the signs that will follow those who believe. So he still has compassion. He is still willing. He is still the same. He hasn't changed at all. So if the Bible says that he bore our sicknesses, according to Matthew 8 and Isaiah 53, the Bible says that he bore our sicknesses, why is it then that we feel justified in carrying them? If he carried them, why do we feel that it is necessary for us to carry them? And that's a decision that we have to make in our hearts, that there is no glory in being sick. And I use the analogy or the story of my aunt. She was a good Baptist lady and loved God and a good Christian woman, and she got sick. She got cancer. But she believed in her heart that God gave her cancer so that she could suffer for his name. And no matter how much we try to convince her that, listen, you are taking scripture out of context, she died believing that it was God's will for her to have cancer. And so it gave nobody glory because her children were still young, you know, so it caused a lot of discomfort or pain with regards to her family. So, you know, let me put it this way. If you had the power, as Jesus did 2,000 years ago, to heal anybody who wanted to, and let me ask you this question, would you? It's not a trick question. Are you better than God? You know, we're not better than God. He is so much better than we are. And if you have a natural tendency to want to do that, how much more does your Heavenly Father? And, you know, he wants to heal. He wants to see us walking in health. It's the same thing that in Peter, the Bible says that God desires everybody to be saved, but there are some that are not saved, and I'll get into the practical aspects of that. But our will is involved, but he is willing to heal. So I'm going to give you a story, a true story of my wife, and then one of me, and then a practical application of how you can apply healing for your own body. So I think that Janu spent a lot of time talking about how you can lay hands on others and how they can get sick, healed, not sick. Please God, no. How they can be healed. But I want to give you a practical way of how you can walk your own healing out. So the first thing was when Dee was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and the doctor didn't give it was a bad diagnosis because the tumor was so rapid in terms of its growth. He didn't give her much time. And so Dee came to me and she was like, okay, what do we do? She came and asked me the question, do I trust God for healing or do I have an operation? And I said, well, Dee, I can't make that decision for you. I will stand in agreement with whatever decision you make, but you are the one who has to take responsibility for what you're going to believe here. And so Dee went and spent time with the Lord and she was like, you know what, I'm going to believe God for healing, but I want this thing out of me because, I want to know that it's out of me. So she was like, I want to go and have an operation and I want it to be cut out and walk my healing out that way. And I'm like, well, I'm in agreement with you. And so cut a long story short, she went to the hospital and top professor, he cut this massive tumor out, but she came out of hospital with a bladder infection. And so she was walking around with this catheter, and eventually they took the catheter out after a long, horrible time, but still could not go to the loo. And so she was seeking God concerning it, saying, Lord, how come I can't we? And the Lord spoke to her and said, it's because of the fear of the unknown. And she was like, you're right, Lord. And she, through worship and just seeking God through the whole process, she can tell you the story better. I'm just summarizing it for you. But in worship, she came to before the Lord, and the Lord said to her, you have the fear of the unknown, but there is something that you do know. And she said, yes, Lord, I do know that you are the healer. And she was healed immediately. And from that moment on, she can go to the loo. But it was an instant miracle. From not being able to go to the loo, she was healed immediately because she let go of her fear and trusted in the truth that Jesus is the healer in his character. And then the second example I want to give you is when I was doing a crusade in Johannesburg, south of Johannesburg. I came back from a crusade. And I was feeling exhausted, and it was, I didn't go take afternoon naps, but I went and I said to Dee, I'm going to go and have an afternoon nap. I would always feel too guilty to do that. And I woke up with Bell's palsy. But when I woke up, I thought I'd had a stroke because the left side of my face was paralyzed. And I went from automatic to manual. I had to blink with my finger. And so I went to the doctor, and he said, look, you've got Bell's palsy, and you have a 50% chance of getting healed. Some people get healed with no side effects. Other people don't ever get healed. Other people will get healed with partial symptoms. And so I went and I sat down on my couch, and this is where the practical aspect of how you can walk your healing out comes into play. I went and I sat down on my couch, and I was like, okay, Lord, healing is within me. In Ephesians, the Bible says that we are alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is within us. And so we can be alienated or cut off from the very life of God that is within us. Because when I got born again, when you got saved, healing was deposited within you. So there is the life-giving Zoe power of God that is resident within you when you receive Christ, because you are one with him. So this is now not about me trying to get healing from God, because he's already given healing. He's already said, I'm willing to heal you. He's already said that I love you. He's already said that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if God is like that, how come we don't experience that healing? And the reason why we don't experience healing is because of what we are believing in our hearts. Now, your emotions are an indicator of what you are believing. So if you drive down the road and your oil light comes on, it is an indicator that you need to take action and put oil in your car, otherwise you're going to seize. So your emotions are an indicator of a belief within you. So anxiety, fear, stress, all of those are an emotion of a belief. So I would sit on my couch and I would then begin to confess a scripture and just get quiet before God and say, by your stripes, I'm healed. And then begin to recognize and take note of the emotion that would rise up within me when I would begin to meditate on by his stripes I was healed. And the emotion that would rise up within me would be fear, embarrassment, anxiety, disappointment, no peace. Now, the Bible says that when I'm trusting God, I will experience a supernatural peace that surpasses understanding. So I would then begin to take note and write down all of these emotions that I was experiencing. I was experiencing fear. I was experiencing embarrassment. I was experiencing disappointment. I was experiencing worry. And so I was fearful because I was going to stay like this forever. I was embarrassed because I'm supposed to be the pastor who knows all these things and is supposed to be working all the time, which is such a lie. I was anxious that I would never be able to preach again or fulfill my calling. I was disappointed because I'd just come from a crusade and seen amazing miracles. And here I was, the so-called man of God, who had Bell's palsy. And it was all connected to stress. So then what I did was practically, as I began to say and meditate on the fact that God is my healer, that Jesus, you're the same, that you are so willing that I can, that I live healthy and whole, and you want me to walk in divine health. I would then take the emotion of fear, and I had to deal with each emotion on its own. So if I want to give you an acronym, it is NOAH. N-O-A-H. So firstly, I would name the emotion. So I've got to name it so that I know what I'm dealing with. And I would take fear, and then I would ask myself the question, well, what does the Bible say about fear? So let me ask you, what does the Bible say about fear? He has not given me a spirit of fear. He says, fear not. He says, perfect love casts out all fear. So fear is something that I need to let go of and not hold on to and own. So I would take fear and I would send it away. And I would replace it, because receiving healing is about letting go of lies and acknowledging the truth. And so I would send fear away and I would say, no, I don't have to fear anything. I don't have to fear staying this way. Christ is my healer. So I send you away, fear, and I believe the truth that God's word says that I have not been given a spirit of fear. So fear, you don't belong to me. Your word says, Lord, that I am loved perfectly. So I don't have to fear anything. And I would send it away. Then I would again sit down and get quiet before God and say, well, by your stripes I'm healed. And embarrassment, I would feel the sense of, well, I'm embarrassed because I'm walking around, I'm having to blink manually. And so what does the Bible say about embarrassment? The Bible says, whoever believes in me will never be embarrassed. And so I would take the emotion of embarrassment and I would send it away. And I say, Lord, thank you that your word says, when I believe you, I'll never be embarrassed. And I would send it away. Anxiety would rise up and worry would rise up in my heart. What does the Bible say about anxiety and worry? Be anxious for nothing. Cast your cares onto him because he cares for you. So I would take the emotion of being worried and I would cast it onto God and I would say, Lord, thank you that your word says I don't have to worry. Your word says that I can cast all my cares onto you because you care for me. And I would sit down and I would go through this process of sending away the lies that I was believing, because that's what they are. They're lies. I would send away every lie and I would replace it with the truth of God's word until peace would settle in my heart. And in the beginning, I had to do this continually. This wasn't just a once-off thing. I had to do this continually because just as quickly as I would send fear away, it would come back. And so I would have to go through the process again. And so for the first day, second day, three, four, 5 days, I had to do this continually. I had to renew my mind and I would have to just get out. There would be this thing of fear and I'd get out from underneath it and I'd say, no, that is not mine. I do not have to fear. God's word is true. All of his promises to me are yes and amen. God loves me. He is willing. He has already deposited healing within me. I do not have to fear this thing affecting my life. And so I had to go through that process. So I had to name it. The second thing, I had to own it. So I didn't deny that I was feeling fearful. No, I owned it. And I was like, no, I'm feeling fearful, but this is not the truth. So I would send it away and say that, listen, this is not mine. The third thing is I acknowledged that I needed to change what I believed. So I named it, I owned it, I didn't deny it. So many people are like, well, faith is just denying that you're sick. No, no, you name it, you own it. It's like, no, I am, but it's a lie, it's not the truth. I acknowledge that I need to replace it with the truth of God's word. And then H means handle it. So you handle it by sending it away, by believing the truth of God's word and going through that process until the peace of God settles in your heart so that when you say, by his stripes, I'm healed, there is peace here. No other emotion but peace, because it's now you've sent away every conflicting belief so that the life of God can flow. And within, I think it was 2 weeks, I woke up one morning completely healed. So it was allowing the truth of God's word and the truth of who Jesus is inside of me to manifest in my body. And the reason, you know, there was a guy whose son was demon-possessed and was thrown all over the show and the disciples couldn't heal him. And then Jesus interacts with the dad. Now, can you imagine the guy's son is busy manifesting? And Jesus directs his attention to the man. And he says, Lord, please will you heal my son? Please do something. And Jesus looks at him and says, you do something. Like, can you imagine? The guy's son is busy manifesting here on the ground. And he says, if you believe, he'll be healed. And the guy realizes that he was absolving himself from actually believing. And then he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. And so this is what I'm talking about. We have this part of us, deep within us, where we believe, but we are limited by our unbelief. We are limited by the things that we are not persuaded of. And so there is this conflict within our hearts. And the analogy, you know, it's like if I've given you something, if you're asking for an iPad, and I say, there's the iPad, take it. It's like as much as you want to take it, there is an opposing force. And oftentimes, for us as believers, there is an opposing force because there's unbelief in our hearts that we haven't dealt with. There are issues. There are lies that we are believing which hinder the flow of the supernatural and the miraculous from happening, because we are not persuaded, because we believe God is the healer, but then we believe a whole bunch of other lies as well. And so this process of Noah, of naming it, owning it, acknowledging you need to change and handling it is a way that you can let go of lies and replace them with the truth of God's word, with his promises. And as you begin to do that, a peace settles in your heart and you begin to walk your healing out. Does that make sense? So it's just a very practical way that I've applied for my own life. So when I'm sitting down, and you know, most of our, not all, but most of our issues with regarding sickness is connected to some sort of stress. And stress is connected to worry, anxiety. And if we can deal with those things by coming back and actually believing that God has got integrity, that what he says he will do, he will do. And coming to that place where I'm not questioning his character, but I'm actually believing the truth of his word, where I look at the life of Jesus and that he healed people who came to him. And he healed the undeserving. He didn't heal those who were the Pharisees. He healed people who, some weren't even Jews. He healed Gentiles, he healed Jews, he healed Samaritans, he healed Romans. He healed those who came and believed in the integrity and character of who he was as a person. And when I come to Jesus like that, trusting him, that he is integrous, that he does love, that he is willing, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that his name has been described as the one who is our healer, that he described himself as the great physician. When I come to him, trusting in his character and his nature, and I begin to let go of these lies, and I replace him with the truth of his word, I can then walk healing out. Amen. You have any questions? I like to make these things practical so that you can actually walk these things out. And, you know, oftentimes we are looking for the spectacular. And sometimes it's not spectacular, it's just supernatural. And there's a big difference because, you know, we want the fanfare, we want the TV camera. And many times, man, it's just about replacing lies with the truth of God's character and his nature and his desire and his love for us to walk these things out. But in the process, I've got to let go of some lies that I might be holding on to. I'm not looking at the symptoms. I'm just trying to locate what am I believing in my heart. And when I ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, show me what lies am I believing? And as you get quiet in his presence, then these things start to rise up in your heart. And you begin to locate, well, actually I'm worried about something. Or I'm fearful. Or I'm stressed. Or whatever it might be. Or I've got unforgiveness. I've got resentment or bitterness. There's things that rise up within my heart. And as I begin to locate those things, then it's like, okay, Lord, help me deal with my heart here. Because everything flows from your heart. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for out of your heart flow the issues of life. So this is now about guarding my heart above everything else. So this process that I'm talking about is about a heart thing. See, oftentimes we want to make it an external thing, that I want to get something outside of myself. No, it's not about trying to get something outside of myself. It's about acknowledging what I've already received on the inside of me and allowing that to determine the course of my life. And that's what he's talking about. Guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues, boundaries, forces, springs of life. And so when I deal with my heart issues, then I begin to walk the promises of God out. So you've got to get quiet, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, and he will. He does. He's your guide, your teacher, your comforter, revealer of truth.